Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard. You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is,
I'm not hearing anything.
Everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty, welcome to TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go, the world's greatest radio. You are now in touch with The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard for Wednesday, November the 14th, 2018. Today's show is really going to consist of your Gmails and your phone calls. We are really stacked up, so we decided that we would get as many of those in as we can along with your phone calls. Now, you can call at 1-877-932-9766. You could also go to the YouTube channel, type in the word Talktainment, then you want to scroll down or hit the space bar and then type in the word radio and then scroll down to Talktainment number 2, and you are there where you can see us and also, or see me anyway, and hear us. While you're there, hit the subscribe and like button. And you can also do this, and we would prefer this way, but you can do this. Go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage and just click on Listen Live. Boom, you're there. Hit the subscribe and like button there. Facebook, you can go there. You can go to Facebook.com/TalkTainment. That has it. And you can also hit me up on my Gmail at the numeral 7, MrBobby@gmail.com. That's what we will do and try to abide by, and we'll see how the show progresses from there. Okay, let me introduce to some and present to others Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. He is the author of the book, The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. And he will talk more about that book as the show goes on. As a matter of fact, a lot of his answers contain many things that are in the book that we strongly suggest that you get. And as a matter of fact, all of he says are suggestions, but they're very insightful and worth you taking a look at. So, Mr. Fuller, as usual, my usual custom, on this 14th day of November 2018. Let me start off by saying good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Okay. And my second question is, how are you today, Mr. Fuller?
I'm still learning.
You are still learning. I had a question that came up in our discussions yesterday on how Mr. Fuller would answer this. There was an incident, Mr. Fuller, in Dallas recently where a security guard was shot and killed by one of the suburbs of Dallas police officer. He was a security guard with clearance to carry a weapon. And apparently at some nightclub or something, some of the people in the nightclub started shooting and firing people. And one of the people that is affiliated with the club asked the security guard to intervene and break this up. And as he did do this, he apprehended one of the suspects and had him down on the ground waiting for the police to come. And they did come, and the policeman that did the shooting saw that the security guard had the gentleman pinned down, and the security guard was shot by the police officer. What is your compensatory response to that incident?
It's to be expected. I keep trying to tell people, you have a prison uniform on. See, the people that showed up on the scene, I read a little something about that, and apparently from what I can make of it is, they spotted that prison uniform. I mean, in the system of white supremacy, the prison uniform is a dark skin, non-white skin, particularly what they call black skin, is a prison uniform. You're a prisoner of war. When you spot that prisoner of war with the prison uniform, which is the skin color, black, and that prisoner has a gun, that's a no-no in a prison system called the system of white supremacy. So you automatically, that's just a reflex. It's not personal or anything like that. It's a reflex. Everybody's been taught that. Black people have been taught that. That black skin, that's a prisoner of war. What is he doing with a gun? I mean, he's got no business with a gun. He's a prisoner of war. Or she is a prisoner of war. Shoot. Shoot. Ask questions later. Because he got no business with that gun. Now, that uniform that they put on made out of cloth, that didn't matter at all. The uniform is not the cloth. The uniform is the skin color. Every black person on the planet has to know that 24 hours a day. Otherwise, this is going to continue. Of course, it's going to continue anyway, but we should at least understand that. If that had been me, I would have, hey, now the people who respond to this situation, first thing they're going to see is a black guy with a gun. That's me. And I'm going to be toast in a few seconds. So I got to hide this gun or do something, lay down on the sidewalk or something before they get here. Because what they're going to see is a black person, a male, with a gun. End of story. I'm dead. I got to think that way. I got to think that way. And everybody that's listening to this program, I mean, security guards, you got a lot of black security guards in the Northwestern Hemisphere in shopping centers and whatnot. You better understand that. That should be a part of what they teach you in the course when you get to be the guard in a shopping center or something. And they single you out. They should, you know, say, well, now, in that class, if they got one, when they teach you what the protocols, what the procedures are going to be, they say, now, when it comes to the black fellows here, remember, if you got that gun in your hand, when the sheriff shows up or the highway patrol and they come rolling in, I mean, three and four cars, sirens blasting, all right, everybody jumping out, shotguns, the whole nine yards, all right, and you're trying to apprehend somebody, you better make sure that they don't spot you with that gun in your hand, or you are it. Forget about everybody else. You're it. You're the target. Everybody opens up on you. Think about that. Keep that in mind. Since they don't tell you, I'm telling you the way I would look at it, because, see, I would be thinking about that all the time. My prison uniform. That's the thing that's going to stand out more than anything in that shopping center.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I did not see any film on this particular incident, but from the description that I read, the security guard, the black security guard, had the guy down, the suspect down, in a position. In other words, what I'm trying to intimate is that his gun that he was licensed to carry did not factor in the security guard's play. He had both hands on the gentleman you know, trying to keep him down until the police came. And according to what I read, they came in and just started shooting. They saw a black guy holding a guy down, and they, even though he was in a prison, or rather, even though he was in a security guard uniform, they assumed, that's the police, assumed that he was the suspect and just shot him, no questions asked, until afterwards.
Oh, well, that's just one of those major and unfortunate things. But it goes with the territory.
Meaning?
Even without the gun being visible.
Yes.
Like I'm, you're in danger. Being black on the planet, all right, is guilty as charged. I'm guilty of what? I'm guilty of what? Being black on planet Earth. Guilty. Wake up and smell the coffee, fella. This is all of us.
Okay.
We have to think like that. We have to think like that.
Yes, sir.
All the time, 24/7. Without, you know, people might say that, well, now, you know, you're kind of overblowing it, don't you think, Fuller? I mean, you know, it ain't that bad. Yes, it's that bad. And people who suddenly have to, you know, learn that the hard way know how bad it is. I mean, see, you can't look in the mirror and see what other people see in the system of white supremacy. You say, I'm a nice guy. I mean, you know, I don't bother anybody. I do things and, you know, try to treat people right.
Yes.
And, you know, and I just go to work and try to make a living. Oh, no. You're a prisoner of war. And bad things might happen at any moment to prisoners of war.
But being aware that he had a job to perform, as he was asked to do.
Yes.
He still got shot.
Sure. That's what I'm saying. Bad things happen to prisoners of war. Why? Because we're prisoners of war. I mean, you're just guilty of just being here. Guilty of being, you know, black while existing. That's a horrendous crime for a person.
Okay, let me put it this way.
We have to see it that way here in 2018.
Okay.
And it's going further and further and further deep into being that way, regardless of all the singing and dancing that we do and getting on television and making jokes and
yes,
all
sir.
Like that. I mean, it is steady getting worse.
Okay.
And we have to look at it like that it might even get 10 times worse than it is.
Okay.
You have to think that way.
Okay.
You must think that way.
1-877-932-9766 is the number if you'd like to join in on the conversation. Before we move on to a Gmail, Mr. Fuller, again, this particular situation. Now, the question is that many wanted to ask, how would Neely Fuller address this situation? You are the security guard, and they ask you to do what this gentleman did to break this situation up and get it under control. With you, with all of the knowledge that you have with the book and that you are a prisoner of war, the whole 10 yards, we're not going to go 9, 10, the whole 10 yards, people want to know, what would Neely Fuller do in the exact situation that this brother who was killed found himself in?
Once I see help arriving, in other words, it's actually showing up.
Yes.
Jump up and throw up my hands.
You still might get shot.
And I still might get shot, knowing that. Yes. I automatically know that.
Okay.
See, I mean, you know, being a prisoner of war, that's what you expect. You look at some of the prisoner of war movies like World War II. I mean, people just walk up and shoot you in a prisoner of war camp for no reason at all.
Yes.
Except the guy just wants to try out his gun, see if it's working that day.
Mm-hmm.
He just might shoot you. I mean, in some war camps, you know, nobody's around, nobody's looking. Hey, he tried to escape, so I shot him. You know, that's all the guard got to say. Or he was coming toward me in a threatening manner. He can kill anybody anytime he wants to and write a report on it. End of story. I mean, and the rest of the guards, I mean, nobody else was around, or, hey, it could be. I mean, we didn't know, you know. We just heard a shot. End of story. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Prisoner of war. I'm talking about in a war camp. Not talking about what you call civilian penitentiaries. You might write more reports in that type of setting.
Yes.
But the world, the way that it is now, if you have black skin, you are already a prisoner of war and under a death sentence.
Okay.
By birth.
Okay.
Just by being born, you are already under a death sentence. You've already been convicted of something that carries a death sentence. If you look at yourself that way, then you've got your antenna up.
Okay.
And when you're called names or anybody, don't escalate that situation, because you are the person that's going to be the target when all this goes down.
Okay.
I don't care how many rights you think you have. That's the way it's headed. That's the way I look at it.
All righty.
That's the way I write about it.
Gotcha. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news and lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. And here are several that I'd like to share with you. Well, here's one that I am going to share with you. We at TalkTainment Radio have a lot of different shows, and this one is a really good show that you would want to invest in an hour in, and it's called the Quay Morgan Hill Show. I had the privilege of viewing the show and listening to it and also seeing her live. Very outstanding topics that they discuss. It covers the whole gambit of stuff. Very innovative conversation. You might want to check that out. The Quay Morgan Hill Show, which is an exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Man, oh man, the young lady and her guests are just outstanding. But you'd have to see that for yourself. That's the Quay Morgan Hill Show, which is an exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. I believe it comes on after my show on every other Wednesday, or every other Tuesday, excuse me, here at TalkTainmentRadio.com. That's the Quay Morgan Hill Show. As a matter of fact, not only that, but you can click on the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage for each show that we have. It gives you a little detail about the show host, what it's about, the time, and the day. So check that out, exclusively from TalkTainmentRadio.com. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am blessed to be the co-host of the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Basically, we're having an open forum, but we are going to try and clear as many Gmails as we can. If you want to call and join in on the conversation or even have a question, you can do so by calling 1-877-932-9766 and have Mr. Fuller address your question. Okay, this is from the Gmails. Ironic. It's talking about prisoners of war. This comes from Brother Thompson. He says, Mr. Fuller says that we are all prisoners of war. If that is the case, and I believe it is he saying that our homeland is America, and he put three K's on the end of it, and not Africa?
No, we don't have a homeland. Prisoners of war don't have a homeland. They don't have anything. Prisoners of war have a title. That's what we have. And the title is Prisoners of War. Period. We don't have another title. Victims of the system of white supremacy. They are prisoners of war. Every person classified as non-white on the planet in 2018. End of story. You have no nationality. Your history doesn't mean anything, period, except the history of being a prisoner of war. That's it. If you look at yourself that way, you got it accurate for the first time. If you look at yourself as being anything other than that, you are making a huge mistake that you're going to pay for, most likely, somewhere down the line, either in small ways or large ways. But prisoners of war have nothing except a title and a death sentence. Prisoners of war, anybody that knows anything about war, You know, a prisoner of war tries to escape being a prisoner of war, they get shot. That's a death sentence. That's automatic. If you're trying to get out of it, being a prisoner of war, until what? Until the war is over, and then you're officially released. That has never happened. Never. There's no record of that. That has been functional. It has been in written law, but there's no record of it in common law. So you have three types of laws, at least in the Western Hemisphere, in any court. They have statute, case, and common. Common law is just, you know, it's not written down, but everybody understands that that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Racism is the way it is. You won't find very many laws that authorize racism to be valid, okay? Most of the laws about mistreating people based on color have been taken off the books. So that's statute law. That's gone. And you have a lot of case laws. But common law, everybody understands that racism still exists.
What is case law?
Oh, we don't have case.
Oh.
The case law is, you have cases, you know, that have come up during the system of racism, you know, cases where they go to court and all like that.
Okay.
That's what case law comes out
of.
But common law, like common law marriage.
Yes, sir.
A male with a female, they don't go and do any paperwork. They just say that we're going to be what we call living together.
Okay, common then, yeah.
All right, so that's what you call common law.
Yes, sir.
Now, under common law, you have racism. If you start looking for racism being authorized in a written law, you know, you look in the books and say, oh, no, you can't authorize anybody to be a racist and say that that's valid. You know, nobody, no, racism is done away with.
Okay.
In most places in the world, they'll say it's gone.
Okay.
But in common law, everybody knows that's not, it's not gone anyplace. It hasn't even moved a few inches. It's just been modified.
Modified.
Okay.
All right. Let me continue. He says, we are so mixed up racially now, and mostly from white male beast raping everyone, and so-called whites either never kept records, destroyed them, or are hiding them from us, so it is almost impossible to know where we truly originate from. My question is, what does Mr. Fuller think about this chicanery, and how can we control our excessive emotions to prevent us from bad spending decisions like this stuff that ultimately led to white enrichment and our genetic downfall?
Oh, well, like in the code book, it says the suggestion is you don't spend money needlessly. Just a simple thing. And you definitely don't spend any money like all these things that, you know, people keep inventing holidays and more of them coming down the line. I mean, in order to do what? Go out and spend. That's what that's about. Don't do that. Just simply don't do it. Just because somebody check marks a date on a calendar means you're supposed to go and spend money?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely don't do it. I'm not doing none of that. Just stop doing it. Cold turkey. Go cold turkey worldwide on that. Every person of color. I'll entice somebody to come and buy something from me, like, you know, some old clothes or whatever. But, spending money, going out, and, you know, and so we got to go out and get this. Well, Halloween has come. Now we got to go out and buy some costumes. You got enough costumes. Your skin color is a costume.
Okay. Let's do this. Not speaking of costumes, but let's do this. Woo. This comes from Victor. He says this. Can you ask Mr. Fuller, why do black people hate themselves so much? They've been angry at people who are around them instead of people who are responsible for their suffering. Someone very powerful is trying to remove me from my job, and I have to stand up to them. I notice that when I am being mistreated and subjugated by people who practice racism, I take out the anger on other black people. Mr. Fuller, why is that? Why is my behavior like that?
because you feel weak, which is what you are. Prisoner of war. Remember this. Prisoners, what do prisoners do more than anything other than just try to get some stuff from the outside or get some drugs into the prison so that they can forget that they're in prison or something like that, or want to talk to their lawyer? Prisoners fight each other. That goes with the territory. Why? Because they're in a weak position. They can't fight the guards. That's just going to make their situation worse. So they fight each other.
What does that do?
Nothing but make their situation worse. But they just feel like they got to lash out at somebody or something. Unless, like in the movie, Shawshank Redemption, that's not what Andy Dufresne, the character in the movie, did, the principal character in the movie, the center stage of the movie. That movie has loaded with lessons, Shawshank Redemption, with Tim Robbins acting in the character of Andy Dufresne. How did he act? He didn't go around trying to make trouble with the other prisoners or even make trouble with the guards. Why? He knew it wouldn't work. That's why. So he started doing things that would work.
Okay.
Trying to get a prison library.
Okay. Let's change
it. Our strategy. Playing chess.
Okay.
With Red and whatnot.
I mean,
showing you what strategy is like.
Okay.
How to outthink your opponents.
Okay.
And whatnot. He knew that the other prisoners were always going around trying to sodomize people, beat them up, start fights, whatever. Or like in the movie Cool Hand Luke. I mean, you know, people kind of centered around Luke. Why? But Luke, because Luke was always thinking. THINKING. Thinking.
Okay.
Thinking. And in answer to this question, that's what you do. You think before you act.
Okay.
Before you speak. And remember, you are a prisoner of war. Expect to be mistreated.
All right. One.
Expect to be mistreated.
Expect.
Every move that you make. Expect everybody around you to look for a way to mistreat you.
1-877-9...
And just take it in stride and make your plans accordingly.
1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call to get in contact with the show. Okay, Mr. Fuller, since you said that and since you said thinking, let's think about this. Suppose the character that Tim Robbins played, suppose that the person, Andy Dufresne, was black. Then what? Would he still be afforded the same opportunities that Tim Robbins played as Andy Dufresne?
No, all the more reason. And a swift answer to that question. No, you double down because you have to. You have to be smarter than Tim Robbins, all right? You have to see, being smart is the whole key to doing what? Solving problems. And solving problems is a sign of being smart. When you're a problem solver, solving what problem? Whatever problem you have in the best possible manner. That calls for what? Codified strategy. Questions and answers. What's the best way to go about doing everything? If you just want a strategy that's laid out in simple language, that is it. What is the best way to handle every situation, because regardless of what the situation is, anywhere in the world, any minute of any day, there is a best way to handle a situation, which means problem solving, a best way to solve problems, and a what? Worst way, which calls for what? How do you tell the difference? Thinking. It means you start thinking before you start speaking and acting and let your emotions guide you, which is totally unreliable.
TSA.
Let your thoughts, your logic that came with the universe. There's a best way to go about doing everything. This is what Andy Dufresne was trying to do. Okay? And this is what, in his own way, Red, who was black, in that same prison, that's what he was trying to do. That's why he gravitated toward Andy Dufresne.
Okay.
He said, I liked him immediately.
Okay.
When he came in there.
Got to hold it right there. Talk to him at radio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are all available. Download Talk to Him at radio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. More Gmails and phone calls coming up next on Talk to Him at radio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop online at www.ashkickin.com.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Mint Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTimeRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
We are back from those commercials. Talk to him at radio.com. We go where you go. Download Talk to him at radio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And today we are addressing your Gmails and phone calls. You can call in if you would like at 1-877-932-9766. Okay, I got to hit these three subjects here before we get back into it. I've been asked about your movie list update. So do you have an update on it? Is it in the? Is it on your page? What's going on?
No, I've put it out on the air, and I've checked with the people who are supposed to be putting it up. on my website, producejustice.com, and they keep telling me that they're dealing with some other things and they'll get around to it. So I don't know what the projection date is. The last projection date was I was supposed to have it up by today, but I was told about 2 days ago that it wouldn't be up by today because some other things had come up. This goes with the territory of what I write about. Never be disappointed, because never expect very much about people saying they're going to do what they're going to do. Not so much because it's a fault with them, but because the system we're in. The people right there at the station that we're on, talktainmentradio.com, there are problems that come up. So I think you understand that. I mean, it's out of nowhere, all right, that interfere with what you are doing there. I'm quite sure you have experienced that yourself.
Yes,
right,
sir.
There.
Yes, sir.
If you're black, this is what happens.
Okay.
See, things, you know, people who promise you to do things, and so you are told, okay, well, you promised me you'll do this, so now I'm going to go and tell the other people that it's going to be done, because you have promised me that it's going to be done. And so, and then the next person, and the next person, but somewhere up along the line, the usual suspects, either directly or indirectly, get involved, and that whole thing falls apart about everybody's plan. And black people wind up getting mad at each other. I say, but don't do that. Resist that urge, because it's the usual suspects who caused it all anyway. But we didn't know that and still don't know it. We never find it out. But it's the system itself is not designed to nurture anything that black people are doing that is going to have a constructive result. Always keep this in mind.
Yes, sir.
So you don't get angry with other black people when promises are made and then not kept.
Okay.
So don't expect them to be kept.
Don't expect them. Wow.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, I'm supposed to ask you about what is Mr. Fuller's thoughts about the elections, in particular in Florida and Georgia. Recounts are going on all over the place. You're hearing this. You're hearing that. Say you about your opinion, just Neely Fuller's opinion, on these elections that have just taken place?
The codified response. The usual suspects. That's all. Right out of Casablanca, the usual suspects, the white supremacists. Anything that happens, this is code, counter-racist code, anything that happens involving people of color that should not happen, the white supremacists are to blame, either directly or indirectly. Why? Because that's an easy thing to do? No, because it's true. And why is it true? Because they're in charge of everything. That's why. So anything that happens under their watch, and everything is under their watch, that should not happen, they're to blame. Either directly or indirectly. I don't care how many twists and turns and how you shake it up and pour it. It comes out the white supremacists every time.
Okay.
Every time. It might take you a long time to figure it out or sort through it, but you'll always find the culprit behind that curtain, and it's the white supremacists every time, without fail. If it's anything that happens that shouldn't happen in this prison of war camp, why? Because they are the camp masters, that's why.
Oh, right.
And the camp masters are always to blame for what happens in the camp.
Okay, let's deal with this one, number three. There was a girl at a middle school in Texas. A lot of stuff's happening in Texas. And the school says that they are required to stand for the playing of the national anthem and the pledge of allegiance of the flag. And this young girl, black girl, refused to do that because she said that the national anthem of the United States and its flag. In particular, she pointed out where it says in liberty and justice for all, says it didn't apply to her. So the school suspended her for failure to comply with the Texas law. Her mother went there to try to explain that, but they wasn't hearing the fact that it's proven that the flag, in particular, the national anthem, being that it, in particular, the third stanza, which is basically just blasted the whole song in that it was pertaining to racism and those founding fathers who were racist. And Francis Scott Key, who penned that, how he vehemently was against the black people because the British Army recruited those black people and inducted them into their army to fight against the army of the United States or the military. And he really lame blasted them, which is basically the center of the song. And the mother explained that to the officials at the school in Texas, and they wasn't trying to hear that. They still suspended her. What say you on incidents like that? Because there's another incident that I haven't read, but basically the same thing. What say you about that?
On this program and on others, on this program, I think I've talked about that before. I made a codified response to it years ago. And because this question has come up time and time again. So it was codified in the textbook for victims of racism that you can get by going to producejustice.com, and it's in there. It says what the universal flag pledge is, the compensatory universal flag pledge that will fit anything. Took me a couple of years to come up with just that single, simple line. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. Now, suspend me on that one. See, in other words, under freedom of speech, you do have a constitution in the Northwestern Hemisphere.
Which her mother mentioned,
I'm sure. But see, that's taken a long way around when you start talking about Francis Scott Key. What she did was correct. I mean, you know, if you want to have a court case. But I'm saying, if you want to have codification, is about having slam dunks. No dribbling down the court. Every move that you make is a slam dunk. Otherwise, it shouldn't be a part of a code. So you just simply say, oh, I have to take a pledge? Okay. A pledge to what? A pledge to that flag standing over there in the corner. Okay, as a prisoner of war, I do what I'm told. Okay? So I stand there, and I take, you know, and I say, well, now, they told me to take the pledge, so I'm going to take the universal pledge. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me.
So you stand up and do that?
Stand up and do it, and do it what you might call, quote, unquote, proudly. Even though if you want to do that, I just say just do it. I don't have to put an adjective on it, like proudly. I just say, hey, I'm just obeying prison orders. And so now if they charge me with not taking the pledge, I'm going to say, what's incorrect about the pledge? Now we go into the question thing. Say, well, you're not saying the pledge. I did say the pledge. I said the best possible pledge that anybody can ever make. Now that will bring in the factors of Francis Scott Key and then the other slave owners and whatnot and all like that. They can bring all that up. I mean, according to the history that they teach right there in that school.
Exactly.
All right? This is what they teach in that school. But I have opened that door by taking a pledge that will fit any flag anywhere at any time, because I didn't lie.
Okay, now.
All right?
Wait a minute.
Now, it might be a lie in other pledges. It's no lie in that pledge.
Okay.
Every flag always relates.
Okay.
The person who's taken the pledge, the way that I just outlined that you took it.
Yes.
That's why I called it the universal.
Okay, but
you can take that pledge to any flag.
Got that. But by her standing, just standing, and
yes,
even though she repeated the pledge, not the pledge of the United States or to the flag, but she said the compensatory statement. She refused to stand, period, because she didn't believe in what they were teaching, because she said it didn't apply to her at all.
See, that makes it more debatable. I'm saying, what do you do? What is the best thing to do? I mean, you know, if you're going to be hauled into court. See what I mean?
So you're saying go ahead and stand, and then you repeat.
I would stand, and I would give the compensatory universal pledge. I do, while the other people are saying whatever they said that you can say, but under freedom of speech, I would say, I'm going to say the pledge the way that it applies to me.
Even though it looks like you are pledging allegiance to.
Yes, that way I'm not interfering with other people. I'm not being disruptive. I am taking the pledge.
Okay.
But I am saying I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me.
Okay,
that's
I got you. Verbal
pledge.
Yes, sir.
These are the words you use.
Yes, sir.
Exact words. You don't add to it or subtract from it.
Okay.
I do it all the time, relating to the flag the way the flag relates to me. Now, that raises a question. How does the flag relate to me?
Well, if anybody heard you.
If anybody asks me. Yeah, if anybody hears me. What are you saying? See, somebody may hear you.
Yes.
But you're not saying it for them anyway. You're addressing the flag. So it's unlikely that anybody would hear you say it, because they're busy taking their pledge. See what I mean? You can pledge to the flag the way that you want to pledge to the flag, the way I see it. So that was exactly what I would tell my offspring to do. That's exactly what I would do right today.
Okay, before we get into the question, about your book, in your opinion, as you look at the Colin Kaepernick situation, by him taking a knee and others taking a knee and all that, whatever was going through their mind in protest of being, I guess, forced to say or stand for the national anthem and the flag and all that, do you think his, now I'm just asking you, do you feel that his approach to bring voice to the fact of the mistreatment of black people, do you think that that was the appropriate stage for him to do what he did? I know you can't speak for him, and I'm not asking you to, but I'm asking, if Neely Fuller was playing football, that would be a sight to see anyway. But if you were playing football and this was one of the things that you had to do before the game commenced, it was that, or do you think that was the right approach to do?
For them to take a knee?
Yes. Because they were tired of the mistreatment.
I have to respond according to what the code requires me to do and say.
Oh, man.
The code requires me to say that they did what they did. I am not ever supposed to make an evaluation, either one way or another, about how another prisoner of war responds to being a prisoner of war when it comes to their action of dealing with race, their speech, rather, and that's a form of speech.
Yes.
Race, racism, or counter-racism.
Yes.
I'm absolutely prohibited from doing that. I cannot make a critique on another prisoner of wars, another victim of white supremacist response to the system of white supremacy when it comes to their verbal reaction to it. That is a choice. That is a choice. That comes under VGQ.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That is a strict thing. Victims guaranteed qualification. He is qualified to take that knee simply because he took that knee. So everything that goes along with taking the knee now, he's got to be ready for it. Okay?
Gotcha.
But I cannot make a critique of it.
Okay.
I'm prohibited from doing that.
Okay.
As an equal prisoner of war.
Okay.
Under VGQ.
How about this? This is the time for you to discuss your book. Take it away.
Yes. Well, a lot of the things that we've been discussing this morning, in fact, everything we've been discussing so far, I cover in the book, The Textbook for Victims of White Supremacy. producejustice.com, you can get the book. Go to producejustice.com. And everything in there is supposed to be designed to help an individual person deal with, directly or indirectly, with any thought, speech, and or action directly or indirectly associated with the system of white supremacy as a victim of white supremacy, an individual victim, as an individual prisoner of the system of white supremacy, this warlike system, or war system, rather, of the system of white supremacy, and as a prisoner of war, how suggestions about how you can think, speak, and act as a prisoner, because that's what the book assumes that you are, a victim of white supremacy, a prisoner of war of the system of white supremacy, and how to go about functioning in that prison system on a daily basis. Things to do, things not to do. Things to say, things not to say.
Mm-hmm.
How to respond when other people say things, like when other people use the N-word, either in your presence or calling you the name. How to respond. What do you do? What do you say? What do you not do? What do you not say? That's what the book is designed to do. Help you every minute of every day in 9 areas of activity: economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. And these are just suggestions. And you pick them as an individual. It is not doctrinaire, like you must do these things. These are just suggestions, like a buffet. Because everything that's written in there is not, you know, the style or where you are on the planet. Different type of prison systems, even though they are blanket prisoners of war, they come under that title. Different prisons have different rules. Some rules are stricter than others. So you just take all that into consideration. And it's not doctrinaire in that you can pick out things that you think that you ought to do and things that you think make sense, but you don't think apply to you. You just don't use it like any other buffet. You might say it's a buffet of ideas, like going into a restaurant and just going down the cafeteria line, and you say, well, I don't like those type of potatoes, but I like these type over here. I don't like those onions. I like this over here. Or I don't like this at all. Well, you just pass it up and pick up the things that apply to you. And if everybody on the planet does that, this is the assumption, then this problem will be solved, because it's called codification, meaning you regiment everything that you do in such a way that day by day, you never have to scratch your head about what to do about something, because you already know before it happens what to say and what to do, what to not say and what to not do. I try to put a lot of that in there. On an individual basis, wherever you happen to be, if you're a person of color, to solve this problem, because I think that's the missing link. We don't have a code that addresses itself to what the individual person can do each and every day about every situation without fail. And I don't say I tried to cover as much as I could.
Yes, sir.
In the way of suggestions. But go to producejustice.com and you can get the basic textbook. And also you'll see on there a codified word guide that you can get. That's an addition to the basic book that shows you what words to use, what words not to use. It's not a dictionary. It's a word guide as a victim of white supremacy. And what words, how to respond to certain words when they're said to you, like the N-word, how, you know, suggestions on how you respond and how you don't respond. Get that all codified. Get that outlined so you don't get frustrated. You don't get angry. you anticipate that somebody is going to sometimes use it, some white person, maybe, and what to say and what not to say, and make it absolute. Already have it in your mind what you're going to do before it ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what counter-racist science is supposed to be, being able to anticipate what you're going to do before things happen.
Alrighty.
Go to producejustice.com.
All righty. Moving along here, 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call to get in contact with the show. As we come to the close of the first hour, with about 5 minutes to go, as I've been told, you addressed, Mr. Fuller, Halloween, and you were very illustrious in doing this. In particular, the color scheme, and one of my Gmailers wrote in, and then he produced an image. And he says, Mr. Bobby, here is an image found to illustrate our situation as Neely Fuller predicted a few years ago. I don't know what year that you did this, but here the picture is a picture of people dressed in the traditional Halloween color, which I didn't know that they had, but orange and black. What makes this in particular stand out is that as a Halloween costume, they had some black youth and looked like some administrative officials dressed up in black with handcuffs on, indicating a prison system or going to prison or prison, or that is the jail colors, black and white, or rather black and orange. And I'm looking at the image right now that I can't show on TV or on YouTube, but they are in handcuffs. And when you look at the picture, to me, it's sad. It's sad. I'm going to take that caller in the second hour. Hang on, caller. Just hang on. I'm going to get you the second hour because we don't have enough time to do it in this first hour. Well, we do? All right. Well, go ahead, caller. You're on with Mr. Fuller.
Hello. Morning, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning.
I'm still learning like you. I wanted to make a comment and have opinion about it, something I've observed. As a teacher working in a public school, I noticed that students of all backgrounds, and white and non-white, Pacific Islanders, Asian, Middle Eastern, Black Americans, African American, you name it, they're all using the word nigger, N-I-G-G-E-R or N-I-G-G-A. And I wanted to know, since so many people are using, like, hey, what's up, my nigger, to each other who are not black, why do you think the white supremacists pretend or something to act offended when they hear the word and then go around saying we're not going to use the word, we're going to say the N-word, pretending like they don't know what it is, but yet all amongst the teenage population it's being used? What is your interpretation of that, Mr. Fuller?
And you're saying that the people use it in the school, in the classroom?
Right to each other. Students, Hispanic students, white students, Filipino students, Middle Eastern students.
Mm-hmm.
They're mimicking like the rapper style of, hey, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
What are
mm-hmm.
you doing, my nigga? To each mm-hmm. other. But yet we have the adult population pretending like the word has gone away.
Well, remember that you are in a prison system, and you are a prisoner of war if you are a black lady teaching in a school. You're teaching in a prison, all right? You're a prison of war teacher. You've been assigned as a teacher to teach to the other prisoners of war, I mean, how to do whatever the prisoners you do as prisoners of war in the system of white supremacy. So you ask the people who run the prison if you can get their ear. Now, you first of all, you make a report that the word is being used
mm-hmm.
all day long by the students themselves. And then you ask the logical question. You, as a teacher, what are you supposed to do about that according to the prison rules?
Gotcha.
And put a question mark behind it and ask for the answer in writing. The use of that word in this school. What is the official prison policy? Well, you know, you don't have to tell them that it's a prison. They already know that or should know it. But you can just say the school rules, the school laws. I like to use the word law. I don't like to use the word policies, guidelines, rules. That's a little flimsy.
Sorry, we have to cut it off right here. TalkTimeRadio.com, radio, the world's greatest radio, radio the way it should be heard. Stay tuned for the second hour.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely.